Welcome. This is the Effective Challenge podcast. My name's Damien, and this is where I discuss topics that are relevant to both individuals and teams. And the content is aimed at things that you can practically do to improve your performance, and as a result of that, the results you're able to achieve. I'm really interested in any comments you got around the content, or perhaps topics you'd like to see covered in future episodes. Please drop me a line. It's Damien at effectivechallenge.com. That's Damien, D-A-M-I-A-N, at effectivechallenge.com. Welcome to episode 12 of the Effective Challenge podcast, Being Your Best. Before I get into that topic, just a few words to say thank you very much to the people that provided feedback on episode 11, Project Rond, and also, perhaps more importantly, some of the really kind words of encouragement that people provided as I look to work towards riding a sportif cycling event in 2020, Tour of Flanders. It really means a lot to get those words of encouragement, and hopefully over the coming weeks and months, as I literally progressed on the journey towards riding the sportif, I'm hoping that's going to provide a good place for me to draw on examples which I can share and hopefully encourage others with, in terms of taking on a project. It doesn't need to be a physical project, it could be anything, but just some of the approaches and some of the models that I'll be using for myself, hopefully people can take and use and apply them to their own situation. If you're not really sure what I'm talking about when I talk about the Tour of Flanders and the sportif, I'd really encourage you to just have a little listen to episode 11, because I explained some of the background and also some of the reasons why I want to take on this particular challenge, and some of the things that I learned just by taking a few steps towards getting a better clarity about what it would take on, what it would mean to take on such an event. So anyway, that's episode 11. Let's move on. Episode 12, Being Your Best. So I've probably made reference to this model that I use when working with individuals and teams. It's something that I've brought together through my own personal experience and working with others, and it's something I call being your best, where best covers four different aspects of performance. The B in best stands for behaviour, and this is the behaviours that we have if we want to enhance our performance, but also the behaviours that perhaps we don't want to see, and in that, quite an approach to kind of looking at the differences between those two things and what we might do to see more of the things we want less of the things that we don't want to see. The E in best stands for environment. And by environment, I mean literally anything that comes into contact with your world. So it's the really big things, and it's the really small, quite detailed things. And if we've got a really good appreciation of what our environment looks like, and when we're looking to pursue a particular project, a particular goal, having to think about what sort of environment would encourage me and help me to achieve what I want, all of a sudden we put ourselves in a strong position to start adapting and shaping the environment into something that's really going to push us forward. The third area is in BEST, and the S stands for skills. This one is probably most obvious, the skills that we need if we want to achieve something. And I think in my experience, when lots of people think about personal development, they quite quickly jump towards the skills element of what they want to do. By no means easy, of course. Skills are really critical and really quite challenging to achieve, but they tend to be some of the more defined things, and that's perhaps why people readily jump towards them when looking to do some form of development, which is going to hopefully overall enhance their performance. The fourth area of BEST is around time, and this isn't to be clear, this isn't really so much about time management, but I don't want to get into semantics about what we mean by time management. This is about, for me at least, how we go about using our time and the choices we make for the time that we have available. It's one thing that's very consistent for all of us human beings. If you buy into the construct of a 24-hour day, that means you've got 168 hours every week, 7 days. Some of that you are going to need to sleep. You probably want to listen to the one of the early podcasts where I talk about some of the core principles and foundations of our resilience, and sleep and rest is a big part of that. But other than that, our time is really ours, and this can jar with some people when I'm talking to them, because of course we all have commitments, we all have things that we believe we have to do. But I'd always encourage people to just step back and just challenge ourselves, or challenge us as a team, the things that we have to do, because very often there's some things that are in that category which certainly aren't have to's. They might have been a have to, but chances are time and circumstances have moved on and perhaps not so necessary now. So that choice about how we spend our time, I think we've probably got more opportunity there than perhaps some people give themselves credit for. So the four areas, behaviours, environment, skills and time. So over the coming few episodes, I'm going to be delving into BEST and considering the four aspects in relation to Project Ronde and how you might apply that to other areas. So on that basis, episode 12, we're going to have a little delve into behaviour. I guess when I think about behaviour, there's a couple of steps before we even get to that point. And so raising our awareness around how we think and therefore how we feel tends to be good clues into how we might be behaving or perhaps responding to different situations. And that kind of thinking-feeling balance is something that is, I'm really honest about this with people. I'd get caught out by that every single day. But there's a very strong school of thought that says the thinking feeling balance is, what we feel is simply a manifestation of what we're thinking, and we have perhaps more ability to manage that than again, just like the time thing, than perhaps we give ourselves credit for. So when thinking about my behaviours for Project Ronde, I kind of want to draw out three areas, and they are just doing an assessment of the things that are likely to enable me when it comes to my behaviours to achieve what I want. And equally, the flip side of that, the things that are probably going to get in the way of the things that I want to see happen. The second area is having a think about some of the things that I might face, so some of the stimulus that I might get coming my way, and you know what I can put in place in advance to think about how I'd like to respond. So that stimulus response, and the more we can do that, and the better we understand how we would like to respond, the perhaps the greater chance and the greater awareness we have, we put ourselves in a strong position. So that's the second area I'm going to talk about, and then the third is around what we can do to assess where we're at. So and as a result of assessing where we're at and how our behaviors might be helping or hindering, you know, what we might need to do and what things we might need to experiment with, what things we might need to adapt to get more out of what we want and more out of our potential. So let's look at the first of those areas, the kind of what might be helping me and what might be getting in the way. And I, to get into this as a subject, again, without sort of labouring appointment, I'm working with people, working with teams, I kind of look at this through a number of different angles. And the first of those, you know, what are the things that I'm currently doing, what are the behaviours I'm currently seeing and using that I just need to stop? I need to terminate them because actually they're counterproductive to the goal that I want to achieve. So when I was doing this by way of example, and I'm going to give an example of each of the different areas in this particular exercise, when I was thinking about that, I have a tendency to perhaps overthink things. I have a tendency to put something off that I could just get on and learn something about by doing. So the behaviour of doing and getting on is something I'd like to see more of. So the thing I need to terminate is the flip side of that, and that's perhaps one way of describing that would be procrastination. And once I've determined that, I can then kind of look at, so where might the places and where might procrastination show up, and what might I want to do about that. Okay, so the second area or second way of looking at the behaviours I'd like to see and the ones that I wouldn't want to see is, you know, inevitably when taking on a project, there are going to be some things you're going to need to accept. So, you know, as a, I guess by way of illustration, away from me personally. So if you want to lose, you know, get a bit healthier, perhaps lose some weight, there are going to be some things you're going to need to accept. So from the weight point of view, you're probably going to need to accept that, yeah, you're going to need to adapt your eating habits to something that's more conducive to what you want to see. And the reason why this is an important one is because very often once the motivation begins to dip after perhaps we've hit the first bump in the road, it's very often the lack of acceptance that will kind of hinder our progress and in some cases actually stop us doing what we want to achieve. So again, by way of illustration from the exercise I ran through personally, and this kind of links to the first one, the kind of overanalyzing. The thing I need to accept, I think, for Project Rond is that having too rigid plan, so over planning, is likely to get in the way. So I need to have I need to accept that I'm going to need to be flexible and adaptable in the plans that I create to achieve what I want. The third area is really thinking about things that you're doing already, so behaviours that I'm already exhibiting, but I just want to get better. I need to up my game on them, take them to the next level. And you know, this is a really good one for teams, you know, stepping back and kind of saying, okay, so what are the things we're currently doing that are kind of working for us, But if we were to really focus in and put a bit more attention, perhaps a bit more deliberate effort, we could really push ourselves on to the next level. So this is really refining what we need and what we want. So in this case, for me, the example was nutrition. So, you know, I'm really interested in nutrition as a subject. I'm certainly don't live my life like a monk, that's for sure. But, you know, I've got a general interest and awareness and try to eat reasonably healthily. But I think, you know, as I start to do more exercise, more training for this event, I think knowledge and my behaviour around what I eat, and equally importantly, what I drink, it would be really great to take that to the next level and get even better. So to refine my behaviours around, you know, food and drink and nutrition in general. Okay, so the fourth and final area, by way of looking at, you know, the things that I want and maybe getting in the way, is stuff that I need to start doing. I need to find a way to start doing these things. And this one, this is a behaviour which kind of blends into, or quite easily leaks into, you know, a whole mindset thing. And, you know, I'm not a massive fan of riding in the bike in the rain or in cold weather. And I guess, you know, lots of people would probably say that. But I've often seen behaviours creep in to me that become a real barrier, and, you know, if it's not quite how I want it to be, you know, I could quite easily convince myself and make up an excuse as to why I wouldn't want to get out there and do some things. So this one's going to be quite a challenge for me. I think I need to find some better behaviours, some better mindset around my reaction to the weather and what the weather might throw to me, particularly as we head, you know, out of the summer months into the autumn and winter. So, you know, these are my four areas, and now I've given you just four examples, one from each of the areas. You know, when I'm doing this, or when I've done it, there's a lot more detail in that. And then, you know, if you've got lots in each of the areas, you probably want to prioritise, because otherwise you might find you get a bit overwhelmed by what you've now captured. But if you can prioritise and come up with just a few things that you kind of want to make adjustments on, so maybe something you want to stop, something you're definitely going to need to understand, something you want to get better at, and something you need to start doing, just pick one from each of those areas and start doing it. Then chances are your performance is going to push on to the next level. Okay, so the second subject around behaviours that I want to just talk about is this proposition of the stimulus and response. And I first came across this, I mean, it's been written about lots, but I certainly first came across this when reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And in that, he draws on some work by a psychiatrist, a chap called Viktor Frankl. And if you've not come across Viktor Frankl, he's definitely worth 10-15 minutes of your time and a Google search engine, because you'll find lots about Viktor there. Viktor Frankl drew much of his work on some pretty horrific experiences he witnessed while being held in a Nazi concentration camp. But out of that, he kind of began to observe that, you know, just whatever the stimulus that you might face, there's a space, a gap between the stimulus and our response, and it's in that gap that we give ourselves, or the better we can manage that gap, we give ourselves a freedom to choose. And so how this applies to behaviours when thinking about overall performance is, you know, we're going to face, or I'm going to face, certainly as I pursue my goal of undertaking this project, I'm going to face lots of things that are going to come my way, which I'm probably not going to like, at least initially, instinctively. I'm probably going to have quite an emotional reaction, quite an emotional response. And, you know, sometimes, just like any of us, I guess, I'm better at managing those situations than others. But if we can think about some of those situations up front, then maybe we put ourselves in a stronger position to think about, okay, so how would I like to respond in any given situation? So this one's already been playing out for me, actually. On this project, you know, it's effectively an 8-month project. So I set about creating a reasonably detailed plan, not too detailed, but reasonably detailed plan for training in August. So that's now complete and went pretty well, actually. Really pleased with what I was able to do there. But in that, you know, one of the things that, you know, I know is going to happen is, you know, I've just like many of the people, if not all the people listening to this, I've got, you know, many demands on my time and attention. And, you know, it's really hard to control, if not impossible to control, all those things, because stuff is just going to happen and come my way. So one of the things that I looked at in my stimulus response was looking to see, okay, so when stuff happens that I'm not anticipating and it has an impact on my plan, how do I want to respond? And that happened a few times in August. You know, I'd set out to hit a particular milestone, particular mileage target, which was happened a couple of times, and other stuff happened, and I wasn't able to train on that particular day for the duration that was required. So my response to that was to accept that had happened, and then look at what I could do to adapt. What could I adapt in the coming days, or look towards the coming days and see how I could adjust the training program and training plan that I'd put in place. That worked reasonably well. It hasn't happened, as I say, happened a few times in August. I fully anticipate that's going to happen pretty much every month. I'd be really surprised if I can stick to exactly the plan that I'm setting out for myself each month. Yeah, it will need to adapt. I guess another example, particularly when it revolves around exercise and physical things, is at some point I'm probably gonna get sick. Maybe, you know, common cold, maybe some other thing that's bike related. At that point, I'm gonna need to adapt, and just pushing on regardless with the plan might not be the right thing to do. Maybe the right thing to do is take a step back, rest properly, get healthy, and then re-engage. So that's something that, if I get that stimulus, hopefully I'll be responding in a more measured and rational, balanced way. So that's the second area. Let's move on to the third and final. And this is around assessing how I'm doing when it comes to my behaviours and adapting accordingly. Now, this one is, much of this is down to personal preference, how much time and effort you would like to put into this particular aspect. I'd encourage doing some kind of reflection daily, if possible. It doesn't have to take long. It, you know, 5-10 minutes, you can achieve quite a lot with this. But in that reflection, you can look at how you're doing with your behaviours. So, you know, if you've done the first of the elements that I've talked about here today around, you know, what do I want to see, what don't I want to see, you know, how's that showing up? How are you doing on that? Some people use a simple scale. So you might do on a scale of 1 to 10, how well am I exhibiting the behaviours that I want to see? Other people find it more helpful to be a bit more narrative in their approach. So maybe writing some stuff out, or if you've got someone that you trust and somebody that is happy to invest the time to, just chatting stuff through. And this is where, you know, coaches can work well for people, that people are able to chat things through in a safe environment. So for me, there are two elements to the assessment and adaption. There's, you know, reflecting how things have been going. So that's kind of looking back over the last day, if you're doing it daily, or perhaps this is a kind of once a week type exercise. So looking back over the week, seeing how the behaviours have played out. Just be aware that if you go too far between the conducting these sorts of exercises, you can trick yourself into a thinking you're doing better than you actually believe, or sometimes, you know, the opposite's true, and that you're doing worse than you think you actually are. And that's where the kind of regular assessing can really pay off. If you do it, as I say, on a daily basis, you're much more likely to have it fresh in mind about the different situations that you've faced and that you've come up against, and, you know, how you've behaved as a result. So the reflective bit is the first part. The second is anticipation. So what's coming up over the next 24 hours, over the next week, where your behaviors may get tested. So to put this in context, for me and the stuff that I've been doing, so, you know, one of the things I wanted to get better at and behave my behavior around food and drink, I wanted to see improve. So one of the things I might be doing is kind of looking at the diary coming up for this week. I know I've definitely got a busy weekend. We've got a couple of parties we're going to. So, you know, just to reiterate, I'm not saying live your life like a monk. If you want to do that, that's absolutely fine. But I'm certainly not going to do that for myself. But just being aware, okay, so I've got a party. I'm probably going to get tested on the food and drink situation there. How do I want to be? How do I want to adapt? What might I do in advance? What challenges? Could I set myself a few little goals within that? Just little things for myself, to help me manage the situation when I'm faced with it in the party. Likewise, I guess, getting beyond the behaviour around food and drink, the party, I'm probably going to be thinking, well, I'm going to get home a bit later, probably get to bed a bit later, therefore probably getting up really early in the morning to go out and do a long bike ride's probably not going to be that conducive. So that anticipation, okay, so that's coming, so I might want to adapt the plan that I'd previously set and adjust which days I do my longer ride on at the weekend. So that's the adaptation and assessment piece. As I say, if you can do that regularly, the chances are the benefit will go up. But it does take some effort. I appreciate that. But hopefully the effort that you put in is returned in terms of the performance lift you're able to achieve. So that's behaviours. That's behaviours, the first part of BEST. Just to recap, the approach that I used there, I looked at it through three ways. The first of those was the things that I want to see, the behaviours I want to see, and equally the behaviours I don't want to see. The second area was, okay, so what stimulus might come my way by way of challenge, and how would I like to respond? And the third area is, what am I doing about assessing how I'm doing and adapting accordingly to the situations that are happening and the behaviours that are being exhibited as a result? I'm going to end it there for today. I'm going to look at BEST over the next few episodes. So for those of you that have been paying attention, episode 13, hopefully not unlucky, we'll be looking at how we can shape our environment to get what we want to happen and push our performance on. Super happy to get any comments, observations, feedback that you might have about this or any of the other podcasts. Drop me a line, damian damian@effectivechallenge.com. That's Damian at effectivechallenge.com. And until the next episode, I wish you well and be good.